You are the light in a darkened room and rain on a desert floor. Love beating in the hardest heart, calm to a raging storm. You're the miracle of miracles, moving through everything, and you move in me. Move in me. You are the bread for a hungry soul, life with the truth laid bare. The moon that glows with the light of the sun, but even that can't compare. You're the wonder of wonders, shining through everything, and you shine in me. I am alive with your love, oh God. You are high and lifted up. I am alive with your love, oh God. You are high and lifted up, pure and holy. I am so. What you've made me with your love, oh God. I am a precious, sacred gift you have opened up. Like the stream that spills from the edges of an overflowing cup. You're the blessing of blessings, moving through everything, and you flow through me, flow through me. I am alive with your love, oh God. You are high and lifted up. I am alive with your love, oh God. You lifted up, pure and holy. I am solely what you've made me with your love, oh God. I am alive with your love, oh God. You are high and lifted up. I am solely what you've made me with your love, oh God. I am alive with your love, oh God. You are high and lifted up, pure and holy. I am solely what you've made me with your love, oh God.
We interrupt this service to bring you this breaking news. Good morning. At this hour, we are following a shocking event that started around 11 a.m. this morning and is currently impacting the entire New York metropolitan area and beyond. Witnesses tell us that a group calling itself Unity began broadcasting a message with such impact that it shook up lives and altered the psychological states of hundreds and perhaps thousands of people. Some were reported to be in critical mindsets prior to the broadcast, but are now optimistic and even ebullient, according to one source. And, according to Unity, there is only one source. We're working on verifying that claim. But viewers should be warned. This message is believed to be highly contagious. And in what some are calling the ripple effect, it could change the world as we know it. Stay tuned for the latest on this developing story. We now resume our normally scheduled service, already in progress. So that was different, right? Now, it may be a playful way of illustrating it, but let's just say that is not what we ever hear on the news, is it? And yet, every day, if we think about it, unity has a greater impact on lives throughout the world than almost any robbery or corruption story, for example. Now, as I was performing this for you, I tried to capture that classic news tone, which is one of serious absolute authority, a tone developed in the heyday of broadcast journalism and perfected by Walter Cronkite, the most trusted man in America, as he was in fact known. Now, he used to end his newscast every night with a very specific phrase. Do you remember? And that's the way it is. It was his final declaration, his amen, if you will. In fact, the reason I'm doing this talk is that a few weeks ago in the Quest, I suddenly realized how close that famous phrase was to our way of ending a prayer. And so it is. And that made me ask, what if we looked at the modern news industry, especially broadcast news, like it was a religion, a set of beliefs, a worldview, which has a regular service delivering its message. Instead of a minister, it has an anchor. The various correspondents help out with the service. And for those who want more, it has a kind of Bible discussion where you watch people talk about the news and debate what it all means. We tithe through fees, subscriptions, and commercials. And so the subtitle of today's talk is The Theology of Modern News. Now, theology is generally defined as the study of religious ideas and teachings, but according to the Oxford English Dictionary, theology can also be used in a derived sense to mean a system of theoretical principles, an impractical or rigid ideology. So that's the definition I'm going to use today. Now let me be clear. Even though his phrase got me thinking, I am not critiquing Walter Cronkite, who admitted it was a bit grandiose to say something like that every night. In fact, journalists like him and the late great Robert McNeil served us well, and I genuinely tip my hat to them. What I'm really exploring today is the worldview we've all been caught in of modern news as the reality, the way it is. And that worldview has moved ever more into our collective consciousness as the news has expanded from 15 to 30 minutes a day to all the time everywhere. Especially in commercial journalism, that worldview might be summarized as follows. The world is dangerous and cruel. People are greedy and corrupt. You are powerless, so just stay tuned and receive our message. Hope isn't realistic or worthy of reporting. You need to know what's going on, and we will decide what is orthodox, what will be read at today's service and every service. And finally, the main thing you need to know about to be an informed and good citizen is what is wrong in the world. Now, perhaps that last little bit sounds familiar because it's an outgrowth of the ego, which always focuses on what's wrong or broken. And we can find that quite easily when we look, can't we? Now, it's crucial to look at what's broken, but starved of spirit, we get no hope, just a world of error, or sin as we used to call it. Unity's third principle tells us that our thoughts create the experience of our lives. Many of us are experiencing fearful lives not because of crime, for example, but because of our thoughts about crime. Error thoughts, it turns out. Because when we see something like crime over and over in a loop, it can keep us in a state of fear and even trauma, much like Christians listening to an angry pastor scream about hell week after week. And a one-minute story at the end of the night about a water skiing squirrel doesn't really fix that, does it? And neither do sports and weather. So we can get a distorted worldview. And even if we don't watch or read the news, we end up affected by the climate of fear and despair all around us. In fact, that may be the ultimate climate crisis, the one underlying all the other challenges that we see in the world, this climate of fear. Did you know 7 in 10 Americans suffer from negative news fatigue? And that negativity is, in fact, affecting how we experience life. In recent polling by Gallup, when asked about national crime, 63% of respondents assessed crime as extremely or very serious, which is the highest percentage since they began asking the question back in 2000. But guess what? Just a few months ago, in December of 2023, the FBI released a report on crime in America that revealed a, quote, large, potentially historic decrease in crime nationwide. This was in almost every area of crime, and for murder, the decrease was, quote, either the largest or one of the largest national declines in murder on record. And this is big news, right? Well, in the month after the release of this report, the network news spent a total of 3 minutes on it in a month. Cable news, which of course is on 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and needs things to talk about, well, collectively, they spent a total of 16 minutes on the report in a month of nonstop 24-hour news coverage. Instead, they all told us stories about how dangerous, for example, New York City is, how many murders there are there. But what are the facts? In 2019, among the top 100 most populous cities, New York ranked 80 out of 100 for murder. 80. So if crime is going down, if New York is 80th on that list, why do we believe otherwise? Well, think about how affirmations work. If I spend 3 minutes a month affirming the highest truth, and then 58 hours saying, I can't trust anyone, life is dangerous, I'm doomed, guess what I'm going to believe? So, what are we affirming as a nation, as a world? And what is that doing to us? Think about the sheer quantity of news we're getting compared to 100 years ago, or even 20 or 30 years ago. The news used to be 15 minutes a day. Over time, I think it's training us to see all of this as another show to watch. And we can develop what psychologists call learned helplessness. But we know in unity that we are not helpless. We're not powerless observers of the world. In fact, this is practical Christianity. Practical because we seek to put a way of life into practice. We're engaged partners in co-creating the world. So ultimately, this is not meant to be a gripe session about the news industry, but rather a challenge to us to look at what we can do in this environment. What might be a healthier way to proceed? It is about us, each of us, not about them. That's the mindset we're up against. It's all about them. And if that were true, then all I could do would be complain or worry or occasionally celebrate for a minute when my side wins, until a news flash changes that. Talk about building your house on sand. So what do we do when we feel overwhelmed by the news, as so many of us do today? How can we be in the world but not of it? One strategy is avoidance. There is no news. La, 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 la. And I get it. Sometimes we just feel overwhelmed and want to tune it all out. But I don't think that's ultimately helpful or effective. We are part of the world, and I believe it needs our input. Immersion is another popular strategy. Maybe if I watch enough, I can figure it all out or glean what's going to happen. I can stay safe and in control through my intellect. And then we have the diversion method. Watch a little news, watch a sitcom, watch some news, have a drink, watch a little more, go skydiving. But how might we move forward with a unity approach? And what might that approach be? Well, first, I've heard people suggest that we look at the news as a series of prayer requests. Well, how do we actually do that? I led a group for a while called Inner States of America, where we each spoke uninterrupted about something in the news. Then we had some silence. Then we asked, what were the prayer needs that we heard underlying everything we'd spoken about? Can I identify the prayer need at any time? These might be such things as security, divine order, healing, harmony for the world and for me. Then, can I articulate that need in a prayer? And for extra credit, how might I demonstrate that in my life to bring it into the world right where I am? Now, that may need to be an open question. How can I do that? And that's absolutely okay. Allow God to reveal the way in time. Second, let's be conscious of the quantity and quality of news we're taking in, of our news diet. And that could be part of your spring cleaning, to riff on Britt's message this week in the newsletter. Is there anything I can let go of? How much am I ingesting? And am I mainly getting sensationalism and clickbait, the junk food of modern news, to be consumed in moderation? I can become conscious of the overall amount of news I take in and look for the healthier options. One thing I was really delighted to find out in researching this talk is what is called constructive journalism. According to the Bonn Institute, quote, constructive journalism aims to give media users a future-oriented, fact-based, nuanced picture of reality. By researching solutions just as meticulously as problems, it counters a one-sided negative worldview and instead bolsters experiences of self-efficacy among modern media users by illustrating various potential courses of action. By consciously focusing on diversity and different perspectives, it reflects the world in all its complexity and counters oversimplification and polarization. And by redefining the role of journalists as moderators of a constructive public dialogue, it opens new possibilities for improved discourse in our society. I love that. And again, just to summarize, its three elements are focus on solutions, multiple perspectives, and constructive dialogue. I personally have found that kind of journalism on the PBS NewsHour, which discusses issues and includes the arts and other areas of life. I also love CBS Sunday Morning, which I watched later on YouTube. One part of that show that I really love is when they have brief interludes where they just show nature with no words. They might show a brook or some animals. What are your enlivening news sources? If you want to know more about constructive journalism, check out the Solutions Journalism Network at solutionsjournalism.org. I just subscribed to their newsletter. Here are some other helpful tips that I came up with and how we might manage our news experience. You can ask yourself, how can I balance this? Sometimes after watching some news, I watch an Eckhart Tolle video. They're on YouTube, and that helps. I can ask at any time, is my heart expanding or contracting? And to become aware of my inner state. And then finally, I can ask, do I have access to something that transcends this? Remember in John 16:22, Jesus says, in this world, you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. In unity, we believe that he's speaking from his Christ essence, which lies often dormant in us. Christ in us, which we have individually and collectively, as Paul emphasizes in his letters. So, do I have access to that which transcends the world we see around us, or that the news shows us? If not, how can I practice connecting with it? And finally, at any moment, especially after taking in the news, I can ask, what is my worldview right now? Not their worldview, my worldview. Again, Romans 12:2, Paul says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. In the universal Christ, Richard Rohr says, your worldview is not what you look at. It is what you look out from or look through. It is thus taken for granted, largely unconscious, and in great part, it determines what you see and what you don't see at all. He identifies four major worldviews, and I'd like to summarize them briefly as I found these very helpful for assessing where I am and observing. The first one is what he calls the material worldview. That is, the outer visible world is all that's real. Now, this worldview has produced science, medicine, and the comforts of modern civilization, but he says it, quote, tends to create highly consumer-oriented and competitive cultures, which are often preoccupied with scarcity, since material goods are always limited. Two, the spiritual worldview, which says that the inner, spiritual, invisible world is all that is truly real. It's kind of an opposite of the material view, acknowledging the spiritual world, but taken too far, it has little concern for the earth, the neighbor, or justice, because it considers the world largely an illusion. Okay, number three, what he calls the priestly worldview, or I think we could call the religious worldview, which says there are those who want to bring spirit and matter together, to be the mediators and the helpers toward that end. He says it includes many gurus, ministers, therapists, and sacred communities, but it assumes the two worlds are separate and that helpers are needed. It can lead to what he calls religious consumers or even codependents more than seekers. And then fourth, and I love this when I read about it, it's the one he prefers, the incarnational worldview, in which we understand that matter and spirit were never separate. He says, quote, this view relies more on awakening than joining, more on seeing than obeying, more on growth in consciousness and love than on clergy, experts, morality, scriptures, or rituals. The code word I am using in this entire book for this worldview is simply Christ. end quote. He says this cannot be glibly accepted with little phrases like, it's all God, it's all good. No, it has to be realized and embodied at a deep level, and this takes time and commitment. But those who truly live in it can feel as holy in a hospital bed or a tavern as in a chapel, and can see Christ in everyone truly, even those people in the news, not just as an idea, but as a living practice, thus moving that into the world. And all of that sounds like practical Christianity to me. It's the incarnation of Spirit, the Word becoming flesh, bringing God here, bringing Christ into the world through and as us. So, what worldview am I in truly at any time? And how might I move toward the one I'd prefer so that eventually perhaps that becomes my unconscious lens? Since it's by far the dominant model, I'm apt to be stuck most often in the material worldview as I seek to deal with life's issues and worldly challenges. And that's where the news resides almost always, the exterior challenges, the material. When I catch myself there in an unhelpful way, when I feel my inner energy contracting, how can I move toward that place of embodied connection? Well, what helps me experience life as the play of, you can ask, what helps me experience life as the play of forms, as Eckhart Tolle puts it, so that whatever I'm doing, from paying bills to visiting the dentist or grocery shopping, all of that is secondary. My primary reality is the incarnation of Spirit, of presence. Most often for me, that begins with gratitude. That's my way in. Can I spend time paying attention to what I'm grateful for? Not taking it for granted, but giving it my focus, allowing it to permeate into my being and remind me of the truth with a capital T. We don't need to deny or indulge or distract away from the news. We can incorporate healthy versions of it into our larger worldview to include and also transcend it with something we know from experience is bigger. It's like they say, don't tell God how big your problems are. Tell your problems how big your God is. From this mindset, the incarnated world, in all its messy complexity, is, in fact, beautiful. And that's the way it is. Sunday, April 14th, 2024, and always. Let's pause for a moment for what Carlos calls station identification. Right now, let's breathe and feel grateful for the breath, the same air that has circulated since the time of Jesus and before. As you exhale, know that you are part of a process that nourishes plants. This is your natural generosity, your gift to Mother Nature, every single second of your life. Inside of you, right now, are a million processes going on all the time without your input or conscious control, keeping you in balance and alive and thriving. This is the nature of your body, doing its work
even while you sleep. Each organ and process doing its part in the harmonious expression of you. And now, let's expand our gratitude to things outside of us, like the cherry blossoms or spring air, a pet, a kind word we heard, a smile that lifted us, a delightful story or artwork. Let us be a presence of gratitude today to inhabit and outpicture it with each breath. In the silence for a moment, let us say thank you to all of it. There is beauty here, now, safety here, now, divine order here and now, harmony and love here, now, healing here, now. God is here, now, in my experience of life, because I remember. And so it is.
Need.
peace.